Kelly, D Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. We're live out here at Jack Daniel's Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. The NHL draft is in town, and the action kicks off tonight. We have got a full draft preview starting at 6 o'clock. Willie, got all the NHL draft coverage. You, Robbie Stanley, Max Herz, Chase McCabe, all alive for draft night in Smashville from Bridgestone Arena for the 2023 NFL Draft. All of that coverage is brought to you by International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 429, Electronic Express, Oil Fire Whiskey, and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Willie, what can the people expect tonight from your draft coverage?
Well, you know, what I like to say is it's pretty free-flowing, because when you're covering a draft, and we've done a few, and we've learned, because the first one we did was Leggy's draft in 1998.
So you've had some time to
no
reflect.
Idea. The best move that George Plaster and I made in 98, 25 years ago, we recruited a guy from the Hockey News. Because we got here and we started looking at the names, we started looking at the teams.
And all the names have only
like,
consonants.
And we're looking at, we're going, 3 hours? Not sure we're going to have anything to talk about unless we have an expert. So we recruited a guy from the Hockey News, and he was great. And he was nice enough to just say, look, he wrote an article about it. He was like, hey, they recruited me. They needed a guy that knew who these guys were. And so we were asking him things like, how many games do you think the Predators will win the first year? And he said, how about 18 to 20?
Oh.
And they actually won 28 games. They overachieved. This is something that the joke is that Barry Trotz's early teams, and David Legault was part of some of them, weren't bad enough so that you could get those high-end top five picks. Because they were always picking 11th, 12th, 10th, where you maybe missed out on those generational guys that if you really stunk like everybody thought they would, but they were that scrappy, overachieving kind of team that did better than most people thought.
Back in the day before an expansion draft.
So with our coverage tonight, what I've learned is you got to be able to move depending on what happens. If there's two or three big trades, for example, which I think there will be, we'll be talking about those. If the Predators make a move, obviously, we'll talk about that if they move up in the draft. After the Predators picks, we'll try to get you some insights. Max Herz is going to be down on the floor, so he's going to be interviewing people down there. So it's going to be very Predator-centric, and if there's a little bit of low time where not a lot is happening, we're going to have good insights. For example, Hal Gill, we're going to bring him on. We're going to look at the Predators' depth chart on defense and where do they need some help. So we'll look at the current team and some of the things that we might see in store during this offseason. So just talk about the team as well as just what's happening. It won't be just like, hey, with the 11th pick, Vancouver selected so-and-so from Sweden. You know, that's not what our fans want to hear, right? The Predators fans, they want to hear what's going on with the Predators. So it's going to be very Predator-centric. We'll mention what's happening in the draft, but it'll all be revolving around what it means to the Predators.
And it will be the best coverage.
No question.
Around town.
No question.
You listen to 102.5, Willie and the gang.
Without question.
Willie, you just said something that is interesting, because typically what you see in any sport, and I think football might have been an exception, you know, when Carolina and Jacksonville came in, they had immediate success. But then after some years, they sort of faltered, and they were able to sort of get high picks because of that. The Nashville Predators were never that bad to get a top five, top three pick. Do you almost think sometimes that and we're glad that they were not, because when you are a new franchise in a city that hockey is foreign to them, you want to win right off the bat to get everybody to come in the building. But when you do that, you may miss out on some of those picks that expansion teams typically get the first 3 or 4 years.
It's a great question. It's a great what if, because I think there were pluses and minuses of that. Now you got to remember, we were joking. Cliff Ronning and David Legault were both, when you asked them what was that first year or two like, They remember how clueless the crowd was. They're all enthusiasm, all exciting, the newness. You know, they were into it, but they didn't know, and I would be in this mix, right? I was learning. We were all learning, right, as we were watching. Who's good? You know, what does this guy do well? What am I looking for? Who are the great players on the other teams? You know, what makes a great team?
What is icing?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was the basics. Yeah. We used to call it Hockey 101. Pete Weber and Terry Crist would literally hold classes before the game, before the game started. Then they would go do the game.
Right.
And during the game, there was a guy, and I forget his last name. His name was Jeff. There was a frequency you could grab a headset, like Cliff Ronick was saying, and he would be in your ear. Like, Pete and Terry would be calling the game in your headset. But then this guy would jump in. So, well, Pete and Terry just talked about that was icing. Here's what icing is.
It's kind of like the Nickelodeon broadcast for the NFL.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So
it's
he
like,
was.
This
he
is
was,
what a third down is.
Yeah. He would talk about, well, that was a penalty. That was tripping. That means they have one more guy than you have. You know, this is the basic stuff.
Uh-huh.
So here's the trade-off, right? If they were horrible, like a lot of the expansion teams back then were, and they were picking second, third, first, yes, they would have had a chance maybe to get some franchise players. But what they gained was they got an identity of this scrappy, overachieving group of guys that had a work ethic. And Tom Fitzgerald was the captain. He deserves a lot of credit for that. Barry Trotz absolutely deserves a lot of credit. Brent Peterson. You know, they instilled this, hey, we are going to outwork you every night. You know, we're not better than anybody. If it was just about talent, we'd go 0-82. But we're going to outwork you. And I think that was a foundation that they built on. And it didn't yield the high-end picks, but it did get a certain type of player that they were finding. They were finding Thomas Vokoun. They were finding Kimmo Timonen, Scott Walker, Greg Johnson. Then later, when guys like David Legwand and some of the draft picks started coming in, they had that foundation. And that's when they started having the consistent winners. And then after about 6 or 7 years, free agents like Paul Kariya came in. They traded for Peter Forsberg. You know, then all of a sudden they had the talent to go with the identity. So I do look back and say, what if? The other part of it is, like, if they were horrible for 5 years and never had anything, like, oh, my gosh.
The fan base.
If you go to the game, we're going to get beat 5-1. You know, you're right. Would the fan base had Would they have been able to grow it enough? Because it was hard enough as it was, right? David Legwand talked about that tipping point where Craig Leopold sold the team, and they weren't sure. Like, he had sort of given up on the market. And luckily, we had that second wave, that second wind to save it and keep it going the way it is today. But if they had really been a rock-bottom team with no success, then I don't know if you would have been able to build the identity of the crowd that we see today.
Especially in a town at the time that was not a hockey town.
No.
Not at all.
Yeah.
It's a football town, college football town.
Right.
You know, so and the hockey was the last thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, Derek, you had a radio show back in those days. Frank Wycheck had a radio show. So we knew what that looked like, right? On Monday night or whenever you guys had the shows, you could get a pretty decent amount of people at those shows without worrying, because you guys were good, obviously. We also had the Predators had a player show, like different guys, different years. And the guys would joke, you know, Greg Johnson, Drake Barahowski, Tom Fitzgerald, you know, not nearly the same pull individually, right? I mean, you had diehards that came, but it was a little harder to fill a big restaurant full of fans than it was for Derek Mason or Frank Wycheck, right? Or, you know, household names across the country. So it's interesting how it has evolved over time. You're never going to have the same audience as you do for football, right? But now we know that there's a solid – there's that foundation that's never going anywhere here now. You got that second generation. You got people who grew up watching. Now they have kids that are coming to the games.
The
stuff.
Fan base that's always going to care. And it's in a good position. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your texts and your thoughts because we've been ignoring your phone calls. And I promise that today was your day. So today is your day. But also, I want to get the reporter's breakdown on two more prospects in this year's draft. And I think one of them plays a position that you're going to be very excited about. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, hey, be sure to come out to the Nashville Predators 25th anniversary block party presented by Tractor Supply. For 85 years, Tractor Supply has helped customers with the know-how and products you need at everyday low prices. Visit TractorSupply.com to find a location near you. Today, do not miss the free party featuring live music, red carpet walks, games, alumni, autographs, food trucks, activations, and so much more. More information on NashvillePredators.com. It is going to be popping, if it's not already popping, out on Broadway. We're live at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena, the NHL draft in action tonight. And I know that Nashville Predators fans have their eyes and their hearts set on one specific position, and that's finding that elite true center that Barry Trotz said this organization has been needing for a very long time. Barry Trotz, Andrew Brunette, has said that they want this offense to be full of firepower. We heard it from on Elliot Friedman's 32 Thoughts podcast, that that offense is going to be more, quote-unquote, high octane. And I know that that made so many Predators fans excited. And the Predators do have an opportunity to try to find that true center of the future. And one of those centers has been slated to the Nashville Predators in a recent mock draft. In the Sportsnet mock draft, they have the Predators taking center Oliver Moore. Now, reporter Nick Kieser,
yes,
what is your breakdown on Oliver Moore?
Yeah, so he's obviously also part of this U.S. national development team, who, by the way, was previously coached by Dan Muse, so there is a little bit of a Preds tie there, so not that he has any ties with us anymore, but he does have the experience. But one thing,
Dan Muse, by the way, back, he's got the band back together. Peter, yep, Laviolette
back in New
Dan
York.
Dan Muse and Phil Housley reunited for on the Rangers staff.
The biggest Broadway show that the Preds never asked for, but there you go. But yeah, so Oliver Moore, and Jared asked me about centerman yesterday too, and I'm going to be really honest. This might be a steal in the first round if the right team gets him. That's what I would have to say. Now, I did some more research on this, but he did have an injury that kept him out of the action kind of a late time last year. So he was out of commission for a little bit. That's okay. Not too bad. But, you know, our friend David Leguan, who just joined earlier, he played for Plymouth, I believe, right, Willie? And this is exactly where we've got Oliver Moore coming out of, too, prior to that. So now that he's gone through some camps, he's been around a lot more, you know, talent is the way I want to put it. I think it's really cool that he's played with guys like a Ryan Leonard and Will Smith and Gabe Perreault. So he's able to sharpen his game around those guys to win faceoffs for them, or, you know, break the puck out and skate up with them. But one thing I liked about him a lot was his skating ability. And I have heard a lot of different scouts or reporters say that he might be the best skater in the draft right now. And so that's the most appealing thing to me about him, is if he can skate and stop on a dime, much like how Jack Eichel did in the Stanley Cup playoffs and in the finals. He didn't win the MVP. He probably should have. But the way that Oliver plays, it keys to me that it might be something that Barry and Andrew really, really like, because if he's going to dominate the game, he needs the puck on his stick and he needs to be quick. And more importantly, he can be creative with it too. So once he makes that jump, that might be something that the Predators would be interested in investing in. So I think he'd be a pretty wise choice at center if he's there. I don't think he will be, but if he's there, or if he falls a little bit, you might want to trade up to go get him.
This is where Mishkov goes could dictate some of it, whether Moore is sitting there at 15 or you got to go up a couple of notches if you really like him. I mean, both of those are possible if they really like him. And that's to me, what the decision will likely be for Barry Trotz as the picks start falling his way. There's a lot of good players and probably some at all three options, a center, a wing, or a defenseman. Do they like one way better than the others? Because if you look at some of these mock drafts, and you did, obviously, Carolyn, you got four different ones. You've got some mock drafts that have more going, you know, 12th, 14th, and then the other ones that have them go a little lower. I've seen mock drafts where one mock draft has a guy going to the Predators at 15, another mock draft has the same guy going to the Predators at 24. Mm. So that can happen when you get down there.
Yeah.
It just depends on how things fall. So that's going to be my question as the picks start going. Is there a guy they like well enough, more than the others, that will just naturally fall to them at 15 that's worth trading up a few notches to go get? Because this is a center, right? If there's a center you really like, Barry Trotz has made no secret he would love to find that true number one. And they've got some very good centers that are young that I think they're really excited about what they're going to do. Now that they've traded Ryan Johansson, we mentioned Novak and Cody Glass and Yusuf Parson. Are any of them that true number one center? I don't know. I think somebody would have to make a very big leap to be a true powerhouse number one center, game changer. And that doesn't mean you can't win with good centers, but if you're looking for that crown jewel at the top, those guys are very rare. Do any of these guys, if they have a ceiling like that, appeal to Barry Trotz? I think that's a big question when it comes to the centers.
You mentioned Mishkov, and I think that he is such an interesting aspect in this year's draft. He's playing in the KHL now. Greg Wyshynski wrote, called him the biggest X factor in this year's draft. I look at TSN, and they called him the number one pick who's not going to go number one. So if you could provide a little bit of clarity of his background, why he is such an X factor, and if you're Barry Trotz, who has already said, I'm willing to take some swings, would he be a guy that you'd be willing to take a swing on?
At what spot? That's the question, mm-hmm. right? If he's sitting there at 15 and you also have pick 24, then I think it would be a no-brainer. Now, I don't think you'll get to 15. I think the question might be, let's just take Montreal at 5. There's a lot of scuttlebutt that Montreal, they like their prospect pool. Would they be willing to deal 5? Rumor has, of course, this is Montreal where there are rumors and all kinds of stuff. There's also a lot of, you know, smoke and mirrors, just like with the NFL draft, right? Mm-hmm. Teams want certain things out, especially mm-hmm. in a big media market where you got a lot of people trying to snoop around and figure out what you're thinking. Maybe you want the media to think one thing so you can do another. But there is definitely a lot of talk that Montreal would be willing to listen at 5. So if Mishkov's there at 5, you might have a lot of phone calls. There's also the dynamic of Philadelphia and Washington. Philadelphia has 7 and Washington has 8. There's a lot of speculation that Washington would grab Mishkov because Mishkov will come over to play with Ovechkin, right? You could pair those two together.
Couple of Russians.
As Ovechkin's going for the all-time goals record, you could have this great phenom coming in behind him. Mm-hmm. What a great story that would be. So a lot of people think he's not going to go past number 8. So if you want him, you got to get up there. Philadelphia has 7. So Philadelphia and Washington, big rivals,
right. They're
kind of saying, hey, we might take Mishkov. You guys, hey, Washington, you want to call us and talk about pick number 7? How bad do you want pick number 7? You know, and then you have the total up-in-the-air deal in Arizona. They've got pick number 6. Most people think, is Mishkov really going to be excited to come over to play for Arizona in the college rink that they play in right now? Not anytime soon, right? So it might be.
If he wants to stay in Russia, he can say no thank you to whatever team drafts him.
He has a 3-year contract to mm-hmm. play in the KHL. He just lost his father, which is hard no matter what the situation is. But can you imagine you lose your dad and you're coming all the way over to North America for the mm-hmm. first time? That's a tough deal.
And it's hard.
So where you're going would maybe dictate how quickly you want to go over there. So there's a lot of thought that if you take him, it may take you 3 years before you see the fruits of that. Now, if you're Arizona, you might say, good.
Yeah.
We need 3 years to get our act together. We got to figure out where we're playing. Where are we going to stay in Arizona? Can we keep it together here? Are we going somewhere else? So that might be perfect. You know, it just gives you need time. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of draft picks. They have a lot of prospects. So that's another. So I think in that 5 to 8 range, you're really going to see the Mishkov thing go down, most likely. There are people that think he might go 4 to San Jose. But that's where a team that wants to move up and pounce and try to go for Mishkov, that's where you need to get, in that probably 4 to 8 range.
And it's a risk. Considering he is not married to whatever team drafts him.
And you know, just like anybody, you'd never know. Like, let's go back in time, 20 years ago, 2003. It was either the 4th or the 5th pick. A kid named Nikolai Zverev, another Russian phenom. Mm-hmm. Columbus picked him. He never got it together. It took him for a long time to get him over from Russia. And when he played, he didn't play very well. He had immense talent. Mm-hmm. But the, you know, the language barrier, the culture, it just it doesn't work out for everybody. So you go right down that list of players in 2003. It was hard to miss, but Columbus missed. And it was on a Russian. So there's always been this a little bit of trepidation on any Russian, especially now with the political situation mm-hmm. over there. We know that deal. So it's complicated when you're talking about Russian players, for sure, to start with. And then Mishkov has that extra layer or two with his losing his father, the 3-year contract mm-hmm. for the KHL. So that's why the X factor is a very appropriate term.
The more and more I hear about it and more I think about it, he sounds like a heck of a player. I have no interest in getting in with the Mishkov business. Yeah. If I have to jump through all those hoops, he's as talented and as deep as everyone says it is. I don't need to get into
but
that much
risk. But then it's unfortunate
risk.
For the kid because of everything that's going on.
See, what you have is, by all accounts, a deep draft, so there is an alternative. Right? Like, do I really want to take the risk when I've got this other guy over here that I really like? But once he hits to a certain point, then it's like he's worth it. I'll give you another example of a Russian that slipped a few years ago, Kirill Kaprizov, who is the guy that makes the Wild go. He dropped all the way to the 6th round somehow because he's Russian and he stayed in the KHL for a while. But he was obviously worth the wait because he's Kirill the Thrill. Kirill the Thrill, right? It took him, I think, 2 or 3 years before he came over. And as soon as he came over, he was lighting it up for the Wild. He was a game changer.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. A little programming note, Gary Bettman, commissioner of the NHL, will join Jared Stillman at 5 o'clock, so make sure you have your radio dials tuned to 1025 at 5 o'clock. But coming up next, Stephen Ellis of Daily Faceoff will join us. Coming up next, Caroline Willie-DeMace, 1025, 1063 The Game. Caroline Willie-DeMace, 1025, 1063 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Joining us now is Stephen Ellis of Daily Faceoff. Stephen, appreciate you for joining us. We're live here at Bridgestone Arena ahead of the NHL draft. And this feels like the perfect draft for the Predators to have as many picks as they do, because from everything that we have heard, this is just a stacked and a loaded draft. And we've talked about the two philosophies of what Barry Trotz could do tonight. You get 13 cracks at it, or you can package those picks and move up, take a big swing. What do you think the Predators should or will do tonight?
Well, I think they should hold on to that first pick for sure. That's kind of the starting point. And I talked to a scout on my flight here and from the Predators, and he said that they, I asked, did you guys get so many draft picks just for show? You know, all the fans here, that. A little bit, but part of it is I do expect them to maybe package up a couple of those ones. Maybe whether there is a lot of assets you can get. You can pick on some contracts, things like that. But at the same time, it's good to have that in your back pocket when you have over 10 draft picks, you know. You get those guys that can help long term.
And like I just said, we've heard that this is a stacked and loaded draft. David Poile said this is the most loaded draft that he has seen in his career. Do you agree?
For sure. The first two rounds for sure are very strong. And, you know, you're looking at this year and there's maybe 3-4 guys that could be first overall in other drafts. And there's still a lot of talent. You could be looking at some guys who could be top pairing defensemen maybe in the second round this year. I think, you know, after the third round, it starts to slow down a bit, but you're still going to get good value. So in terms of just compared to other drafts, like last year was a solid draft that was really impacted by COVID. Same thing with the draft before. But this one, you know, it's been a longer time since the leagues had to shut down, everything like that. A bit more development time, a bit better viewings of these guys. And this is definitely the best draft that I've ever covered.
Stephen Ellis, Daily Faceoff, is with us. We know about the Connor Bedards. And we know Adam Fantinelli likely second overall to the Ducks. We know Leo Carlson probably third overall to the Blue Jackets. Predators sitting there at 15. What are some names that you're looking at to potentially be there for the Preds at either 15 or 24?
You know, I think that this could be a year where they can go out there and get defense. I think they got a really good young prospect forward here. A guy that I'd be looking at potentially is Semyon Zhemishev, a very strong defenseman out of Russia. I think there's a lot of question marks on whether, you know, on those Russian prospects and what they're capable of doing because scouts haven't got a good view, but he'd be one I'd be keeping an eye out. And then maybe for the later pick, I do like Oliver Bonk as another potential defenseman there. The son of Radek Bonk, a former Predator himself, and was coached by Barry Trotz, so there's that connection there. They know the family. I also, you know, would like to see them maybe take a look at Andrew Cristall, who might be one of the most skilled players in this draft. Grew up with Bedard, trains with Bedard, so he's got that kind of connection there. The one concern for him is his skating isn't very good, and he's 5'8". So if the team's willing to overlook that, I think that'd be a big thing to get over.
All right, the question for you, where is Mishkov going?
Ooh, good question here. You know, it seems like there's been some interest kind of all the top teams. We know Columbus didn't talk to him. San Jose, to me, is where he should be going. I would be looking at Montreal if they maybe keep that fifth pick. There's been rumors they could trade down, and if they do that, maybe Mishkov becomes available later on. Philadelphia and Washington are other two teams I'd be looking at, but I don't think it goes past the eighth pick. It just, if you let Mishkov go that far, you're making a mistake. This guy is as talented as it gets. Like, a comparison is Nikita Kucherov. You don't get Nikita Kucherov every draft.
Ooh, Kucherov, man. I think that's given cold sweats to all the Predator fans the last time they've faced him a few times. Let me throw this at you. Steven Ellis is with us from the Daily Faceoff. DailyFaceoff.com is where you can find out. And, of course, every hockey announcer looks at Daily Faceoff every game day to get the latest lines and everything, the forward combinations, the decoys. It's great stuff. And they've added a lot of really good insights to the website as well. And now we've got the draft analysis from Steven here. So you just mentioned kind of that sweet spot where we think Mishkov might be sitting there from 5 through 8. Let's just say you're Barry Trotz, you got the wild hair, and that's the guy you're looking for. Maybe it's not Mishkov. Maybe it's somebody else you really like in there. What do you think the cost would be to get into that 5 to 8 range to get the guy you want? How much would you have to give up?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, a lot of talk about like Philadelphia and what it might cost them to go even two positions in this draft. It'll probably cost them their 2 first-round picks. It might cost them a pretty solid player. It could be something where they might have to offer up Travis Konecny. I think this year is a very hard year to move up, but if you're going to go all out, you might as well do it this year. And that's just because teams know how valuable these draft picks are. And we heard the Ottawa Senators GM yesterday, Pierre Dorion, saying, you know, this is not the year to trade into the first round. I have no idea why in the world he would say such a thing, because this is the year you draft as high as you can. But it'd be expensive. It would cost you a couple young prospects, a couple draft picks. But again, if any team could do it, it's a team with about 1,000 draft picks in this draft in Nashville. So it's going to be expensive, but it could be worth it if they think that, you know, that they're getting the guy they need.
Now, is there one team that can potentially shake things up that would ultimately affect what the Predators do, because they're drafting 15th. Is there a team like in that top 10, a top 12 that can make a move, do something that will alter what the Predators do?
It's a tough one. You know, I think the kind of just a couple picks beforehand, where whether it be Vancouver, whether it be St. Louis, the teams that are kind of in that 10-11 group, like if one of them doesn't take Tom Wielander, the defenseman, maybe he falls to Nashville, and then you got a guy who is this great, you know, puck moving, good skater, defenseman. You can get a guy like Nate Danielson, who's, I'd say he's probably the safest draft pick. Not a lot of people are too excited talking about his game, but, you know, he's like a big guy that's a captain already at 18 years old and scored 30 goals this year in the WHL and did really well. So there's a couple teams where, like, the talent level between, like, maybe 8 to 17 is still really close. So, like, you can probably get a guy you'd be very happy in there. It just depends on which guy is your guy. Which one are you, like, you have to pick, and that could change things.
Let me ask you this, Steven, because you've heard Barry Trotz. If you've been listening to any of his several interviews, right, he says the same thing every time. He would not mind taking some big swings. So if that means you take a guy with a bigger ceiling but maybe a little more risk involved, who fits that profile in your mind that might be there at 15? Is there a guy that jumps out to you and say, you know, this guy, there's some risk involved here, but this guy has a ceiling that you might want to take a shot at?
The one guy I'd be targeting in that case would be Gabe Perreault. And I know it's maybe a stretch saying it's a swing on a guy that just broke the all-time U.S. national team development scoring record. But it's a guy that's, you know, not the greatest skater, doesn't get very involved physically, and was probably the worst player on that top line for that U.S. development team. Granted, that's one of the best lines we've seen, but I think a lot of scouts were concerned that he's going to fall down in the rankings because of the guys he played with and that he wasn't the one driving those plays. If he's available, a guy that's able to score 50 goals, score from anywhere, play the power play, play all situations like that, is a guy that's valuable. He'd be going higher in other drafts, but just given the fact that it's the draft it is this year full of talent, he will.
Stephen Ellis of Daily Faceoff is with us. Last one for you, Stephen. Feels like the Predators are going through this transitional phase. David Poile steps back. Barry Trotz hired as the new general manager. Move on from John Hines, hiring Andrew Brunette as the next head coach. Selling at the trade deadline. Moving on from Ryan Johansson. Feels like there's a whole lot of newness and freshness within this Nashville Predators organization. What is the perception around the league of what the Predators are doing now?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, they got some good, decent young prospects going to be there. Big question of who their starting goalie is going to be maybe 2 years down the line. If they trade Saros, is it time for Askarov? I'm a huge Askarov fan. Like, when he got drafted, I thought he was probably the second best player in that draft. So that's a guy that you could build around in your net. I think it's just kind of continuing to get in that pipeline from Milwaukee, keep moving and keep flowing that in. And then they could trade those older contracts, make this team a younger team, and they're competitive in a couple of years. Right now, it's more of a retooling, obviously, but I think it won't be long until they're ready to contend.
Stephen Ellis, Daily Faceoff, appreciate you for joining us. Enjoy the draft tonight. Appreciate your time on what I know is a busy day for you.
Absolutely. This is a beautiful city. First time I've ever been here. I love it.
Well, welcome. Glad to have you.
All right.
See you on Broadway tonight.
It's very hot, though. I will say that.
Yeah, so you say that as we are sweating.
Yep.
Absolutely correct.
Yep.
Stephen, appreciate
it.
It's
very hot.
We'll
there's
soon.
A lot of moving, sweaty people around you at all times. So
yes.
It makes it even hotter.
Exactly.
Some of
I'm
them are
not used to this. I'm from Toronto. I'm from Toronto. It's not this hot ever.
If you get on a party bus, you get a little bit of some AC moving.
There's a little wind.
I recommend that. You and the bachelorette parties. You and the bachelorette parties. Get a bride-to-be sash, and you're going to fit right in. Stephen, appreciate you. We'll chat with you soon.
All right,
we will react to what Stephen had to say coming up next, and we are to your phones as well. And, of course, our official predictions of what we think is going to happen in the draft tonight. Caroline, Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
David, with this being your last one of these, I'm curious, will you or how will you be able to savor it in the moment while it's happening because you still have got the job to do? Like, how does that work?
I could have missed it.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. I mean, again, as I was saying to my wife last night, it's like all these things are coming up and what have you. It's, I think, after the fact, it's, you know, you sort of look back and, wow, can't believe that happened or lasted this long or any number of things, but I think in the moment it's hard to be sitting around like, okay, this will be my last press conference. I don't have to talk to you guys anymore, girls. And, you know, I don't know. You don't think that way, but after the fact, it's always good. Like when you look back, or you know, when we sit down and talk about the 40 years or stuff like that, we went through a lot of things, some highs and lows or what have you. So there's some really, really, really good stories and really, really good moments of how you handled that or what took place. But sometimes you don't even realize it during the moment. So focus. I just told the scouts upstairs, Barry, they got to have focus on this draft. We got to focus.
There you go. That was David Poile in his sit down with the media on Monday. And it's Barry's team. It is Barry Trotz's team. But David Poile has 3 more days as the official general manager of the Nashville Predators. It's his last draft. It's been a long run. It's been a good run. So congratulations to David Poile, who is going out on a high note, hopefully, in his last few days as official acting general manager of the Nashville Predators.
And I hope this for David. He will be a consultant, and there's no question.
Not going anywhere.
As it should be, Barry Trotz is driving the ship now. And I will always remember David Poyle's one-liner on the day that they announced Barry Trotz as the next guy. I did an interview with the two of them, and he said, "Do they put consultants on the Stanley Cup?" And I think it's true. I think you can put the consultant. Like, the team does have room to put a certain number of names on there, and it could be a guy that played one game. Mm-hmm. It could be a trainer. It could be but there's a limit on mm-hmm. how much space. But I believe they would put David Poile's name.
I'm sure you would have to.
But my point is, I hope he stays around. I hope we see him. Like I hope he still feels a part of it. And I'm sure he will be with Barry Trotz, even though there won't be any mistaking, because we're already seeing it. The influence of Barry Trotz kind of coming on strong and saying, "There's a new sheriff in town. Mm-hmm. I got my team of people around me. This is a new era of the Predators." So David Poile has done. You can see that he's a guy that is all class. He's not Mr. Ego trying to say, "I'm still the GM here."
Right.
I'm still the GM.
Hold it on.
He is very in a classy way allowed Barry Trotz to sort of take the center stage here, even though officially he is still the GM. I think that's a move that you can't take for granted right there. Because, right, don't you think there would be some owner, people who are like, until July 1st, you stay over here.
Job.
This is my team.
Well, I mean, it seems like they have a great relationship. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of the moves that have been made was first Trotz and then Poyle. Because you want to set up a team, you know, your days are numbered. You've already stepped aside, mm-hmm. you know, from that job. And you want to try to put together a roster that resembles the attitude of the new GM and the new head coach rather than the old GM. Mm-hmm. So I think the way that they're doing it is the only way and the best way for this organization. I look back at, you know, how Baltimore did it with Ozzie Newsome.
Yeah.
And he still has an office in the building. He still worked closely, you know, with the new GM. But there's always a place for Ozzie. If they win another suit, there's always a place. And I'm sure that's how it's going to be with David Poyle. If and when they win a Stanley Cup, he will always have a place on that Stanley Cup.
There's one text in our text line that I want to get to. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and it comes from our very favorite texter, Indy Ben. Said, let's be real, guys. Today's all about Bedard to the Hawks and their new era of excellence.
Now, is Indy Ben...
He doesn't like anything Nashville,
Indy
Tennessee.
Ben exists simply just to hate this city.
He's
and everything about
He's
it.
Trolling.
And that's fine.
Stirring the pot.
When we watch the NHL draft breakdown and all the broadcasts tonight, it is going to be Bedard heavy. It is going to be everybody taking their pants off for Connor Bedard going to the Chicago Blackhawks, talking about how he is the next Wayne Gretzky and Connor McDavid combined and is going to be even better than the two. I know. But just from my perspective and my opinion, I know what Connor Bedard is doing. I know he's going to the Chicago Blackhawks, and I know that he's going to be taken first overall. The predictable things are not the things that are interesting to me. The unpredictable things are the exciting things. It's the things, the guys that you don't know where they're going to go, the guys that you're like, I've never heard of this person in my whole entire life. It's the you know, the wild cards. That's what, in my opinion, I know that the broadcast is not going to align with my opinion. The broadcast is going to play the hits, and the hits are Bedard. But to me, the most intriguing thing about this draft is not what I already know. It's what I don't know. And that's what the Predators are going to do tonight with the 13 picks.
Well, we'll see. You know, whatever they choose to do, whether they try to package the picks and move up in the draft or stay put and you know, draft at 15 and then again, you know, in the, what is it, 24th spot that mm-hmm. they're drafting.
Yep.
Or they can stay put at the 15th and then find a way to package a deal to move up even further with the 24th pick. So just because they don't move on 15 doesn't mean they can't move off of 24.
All right, round table.
Somebody has already said, what is it? Let's see. If this were an episode of Survivor, Indy Ben is getting voted off the island tonight.
He would have been voted off a long
off
time
tonight.
Ago. Indy Ben, we're in season 15. Yeah. Indy Ben would have been voted off in season 1. We are so past Indy Ben and his hatred of this town. Roundtable, what do we predict the Predators do tonight? Who would like to start us off?
I think they stay. Oh, man. Again, I think if they have an opportunity to move up, they will. If they can package both of the first-round picks to move up, mm-hmm. I think they will. I think they're going to try to do that up until the last minute. But if they can't, then I think they are, you know, they're just as good at staying at 15 and 24 and taking their picks. But what I did mention is, you know, they may not move off of 15, but they possibly
move
can
off
package
24.
Something else and move off of 24, either moving. I can't see them necessarily moving back, but moving up in the draft, giving away that 24th pick and probably another pick with that just to move up in the draft.
I will say this. There has been Darren Drager, Elliot Friedman, and on down the line, a lot of buzz that the Predators are a team to watch. Now, it's natural because the draft is here. They have a lot of picks. They have a new GM. So it's easy to think that. I don't know if they'll do it, but it is worthy when you got the top reporters in the league like Elliot saying, watch the Predators. So I'm not ruling that out. I do think they're, at the end of the day, though, will stay at 15 and 24. That's just my thought.
They're taking a swing.
You're taking a swing.
They're going to package it and move up. I don't know who it's for, but they're going to take a big swing. That's going to do it for us today. Stillman and Company is up next. Gary Bettman, NHL commissioner, will come on with Jared at 5 o'clock. We will be back to react to all of the draft madness tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Be love and love on your people. Peace.
6 o'clock for draft coverage. Keep it right here all day on 102.5 The Game.